Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
When I said earlier, it's got to be like a sales letter, you've got to put enough thought into it that you're moving them toward the close. And the close is put in your name and your email address, and I'll give you this thing that will help you.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 13 here at the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm your host, Rick Mulready. Wherever you are and whenever it is that you're listening to it, thanks so much for listening to the show here. I really appreciate it. And hey, thank you so much for all the support, the emails, the iTunes reviews, the tweets that I've been getting. It really means a lot to me, and I'm having a blast doing this show. Paid traffic, guys, is my jam. And I've got a lot of great content lined up for you here on the show. So speaking of iTunes reviews, real quick, I just want to recognize a recent review that somebody left for the show over on iTunes. It's by a Stellar Star K, and they said, inspires action. And they put action in all capital letters, which really caught my attention. And because I love action takers. And Stellar Star K says, I want to take advantage of listening to podcasts during my car / gym / idle time. And Rick's AOPT, I love the acronym, by the way, makes it a no-brainer. I'm so inspired to kickstart ads for my small business and can't wait to see the results. Thank you, Rick, for such rich, thoughtful, and worthwhile content. I'll be coming back for more. Awesome. I love that. I really appreciate the review and everybody else who's left a review there on iTunes. Thank you so much. So on today's episode, we're talking copywriting, and I brought on Ray Edwards. Ray is a professional copywriter, and he's one of the nicest guys, honestly, in the business that I've come across. And in the interview today, he's dropping knowledge bombs left and right about writing ad copy, email marketing and email copy, and landing page copywriting. Literally, from the time that we start talking until we finish, he's giving copywriting tip after copywriting tip. It's pure gold today, and I know you're going to love it. In fact, there's so much in today's episode that I put together a special download for you so that you don't miss any of the tips that Ray gives today. And you can grab that download over on the show notes page for today's episode, which is at rickmulready.com/13. That is the number 13. The show today is a little bit longer than what we normally do here on the podcast, so I'm going to jump right into it here. You're going to learn the biggest thing that people miss when writing ad copy. We talk about the most profitable thing that you can do before even writing your ad copy. Ray shares strategies for getting more of your emails open and read. And then once people are reading your emails, how to get them to take action on your emails. Ray shares how to write landing pages so that you're getting the most conversions possible. And he also talks about, gives us ideas for what doesn't work when writing copy for your landing pages. And finally, Ray shares his thoughts on what the whole selling process boils down to for him. This is chock full today, guys. But before we dive into it with Ray, I do want to take a second to thank the sponsor for today's episode, which is ShortStack. ShortStack is a self-service software tool that allows you to build mobile-friendly, high-converting campaigns and landing pages for all of your online marketing efforts. Whether you're a total beginner to creating campaigns and landing pages, or you like to get down with some HTML or CSS, you're going to love the ease of using ShortStack. To get started using them for free right now, just go to shortstack.com/Rick. All right, let's go hang out with Ray. All right, Ray, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. I'm really, really excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Cool. So, Ray, we were just talking about this before we hit record, and our challenge is going to be keeping this to a shorter episode because there's so many great things that we can be talking about. I mean, I want to dive into, you know, writing ad copy and writing a copy for landing pages and email copy, you know, for autoresponder sequences that are so important in our sales funnel. So why don't we start off with writing ad copy? And, you know, I want to kind of dive right into what are some things that people need to be thinking about when they're writing ad copy. From a Facebook ads perspective, the questions that I get all the time are, I have no idea what to write or what to focus on. And granted, every ad form is going to have it, you know, a little bit different, you know, spin to it as far as the copy goes. But in general, what are some things that people really need to be thinking about when they're writing ad copy?
Well, here's the biggest thing people miss, and that is they don't think about the state of mind and emotion and place that the reader is going to be in when they see the copy. Mm. So we kind of come from our own space of we have an agenda. We want them to do something, and we're thinking about that. But it really starts with putting yourself, and it sounds so cliche and so kind of out there that most people will ignore what I'm saying right now, but this is it. This is the magic. If you can hit the state of consciousness, if I can sound that out there for you, if you can hit the state of consciousness that the person is in when they're reading your copy, they will latch onto it. It'll jump out at them because it meets them right where they are. So you've really got to think about who you're talking to. And with Facebook, you can do that. You can really know exactly who you're talking to.
Sure. Now we're talking about, I mean, are we talking about pain points here? Really knowing who your target customer is or your potential target customer and really understanding what their pain points are and how you can help solve that? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And not just the pain point, but how they think about it, what context they think about it in. Like, you got to think about your particular audience. Where are they when they see your copy? Are they on their iPhone, in their car, or are they on their iPhone standing in line, or are they at home with their laptop sitting on their lap, sitting on the couch while the kids are running around and screaming? Or are they in a business hotel because they're a business traveler? I mean, you kind of got to think about what is the environment that they're in physically, and then that influences what environment they're in mentally, and then you know how to talk to them about what's bugging them.
Mm. What are some things that people can do to kind of get themselves in that mindset to start thinking about, we're getting really meta here, to get themselves in the mindset to start thinking about what their target customer, what their mindset is, or, you know, kind of like, is it just a kind of a case of just sit down and start brainstorming and really start thinking this through? Or what are some things or what are some tips that you have for that?
Well, the worst thing to do is just get too much inside your own head. And a lot of times I talk to people who say, well, I know my market because I am my market.
Yes.
No, you're not. The fact that you're selling them stuff makes you weird. You're not them. you're something else entirely. You may look like them, and you may pass as one of them in public, but inside, you know, you've been invaded by the body snatchers that are in business and your marketing. So I think, you know, the typical advice is get on the forums where these people are or the blogs that they read and read their comments. And that's all good. Follow them on Twitter. That's fine too. But really the hard work of it is what people really don't want to do, but it's the most profitable thing you can do, which is actually talk to the people you're trying to sell to and talk to them. Not in a sense of you're doing a focus group or a survey, but I mean, like actually get into conversations with them. And if you've got any customers at all, you could just pick up the phone. It's not illegal. Just pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, I'm just wondering how it's going. What motivated you to buy, to do business with us? How was that experience? What's bugging you now? And if you know where they physically congregate, if your particular group of people that you're serving go to conferences or seminars, or they're at industry events or conventions, go there and hang out. Be, you know, undercover marketer and listen to the conversations, what they're talking about, what language they use, and get to know them. It's hard work and nobody wants to do it, but it's the best way to get to know how to talk to them.
I love that, Ray, because as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, depending on when this episode comes out here, I've just recently finished up a launch for my flagship Facebook ads training. And a lot of during this launch has been email writing and trying to get into exactly what you're talking about, Ray, exactly get into the head of, you know, my target customers for this program. And what I'm trying to do also is in addition to thinking about how the program can benefit them, but also exactly what you're talking about right now is getting into the mindset of where they're at in their business and how my product can help them. How do you feel about doing surveys after a product launch or in addition to, I love the idea of just picking up the phone and calling your customers because they've already purchased your product. There was a reason that they did that and to learn more about that. And I want to talk to you more about that as well. But what about hearing from the people who didn't buy from you? Do you think it's a good idea to kind of survey them afterwards and leveraging that language that they use? Or is there a better sort of approach to that to learn more about why they didn't buy from you?
Oh, it's a good idea. I think surveys in general are a good idea. But I think you have to keep in mind that as Dr. Gregory House would say, everybody lies.
Sure.
And I don't mean that people are inherently bad, but I do mean that we lie to ourselves even. We answer a survey and we tend to answer in the way we think we should answer, the way that makes us seem smart or compassionate or that we've got, you know, our heads morally screwed on straight. Of course I would never take a cookie if it was just laying on the table and I was told not to take it. And nobody,
right.
First night, I wouldn't do that. But the behavior of people is often quite different than the way they answer on surveys. So I like to look at surveys as an indicator of a general leaning that the audience may have, but I really like to measure what their real behavior is. And you could do that scientifically if you sell enough stuff in large enough numbers and you can look at the numbers and, you know, people voted with their credit card.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most accurate vote, but that doesn't tell us about what was going on with the people who didn't buy. My favorite thing to do with those people is to actually just have the conversation with them. Maybe do the survey and that may give you an idea of some questions to ask when you call and talk with people.
And that was my next question, Ray, is that when you do have that conversation, when you do either pick up the phone or you're at a conference and you meet somebody and they are your potential target customer, what are some of those questions that you really want to get into and really want to find out?
We'll get into that in just a second, but first I want to give a big shout out to and thank the sponsor of today's episode, ShortStack. Recently, I got to sit down with ShortStack's CEO, Jim Belosik, and I challenged him to explain what ShortStack is for you in 20 words or less using no jargon. Ready? Go.
Okay, challenge accepted. ShortStack is a do-it-yourself tool for building web pages to engage with your audience, collect information, and drive sales. Is that 20?
I was starting to count on my fingers, but I think you hit it. Nice work.
So if you're looking for a simple do-it-yourself tool to get more qualified leads and sales for your business, definitely check out ShortStack. You'll love how easy it is to use. Get started today for free by going to shortstack.com/Rick. All right, back to the show.
Well, I think, you know, I love to start with what's bugging you about, in your case it would be, what's bugging you about advertising on Facebook? Mm-hmm. Do you advertise on Facebook? No, I don't. Why not? Well, because it's too expensive or because it's too scary or I don't know how to do it or I tried it and it didn't work or, you know, whatever the answers that you might get are.
Sure.
And if they did try it and you asked them questions or they got campaigns running right now, and you know, their problem may be, well, it's costing me $4.70 a lead. That's what's bugging me about Facebook advertising. Not that I know anything about that personally. But
you're speaking all the lingo right now. I'm very impressed.
So that's... asking them what's bothering them, what's bugging them, what mistakes have you run into or problems have you run into? If you could wave a magic wand and fix this problem of yours, what would that look like?
Mm.
And you have to be careful. I love to have these conversations before people know what I do, because that way they're not filtering their answer.
Sure. Yep.
Make, you know, like,
such a good point.
To be polite, this guy's a marketer and a copywriter, so I can't say what I think, which is I hate marketers. They're evil.
Right.
They manipulate people and they make us spend money that we don't need to spend. You know, those are opinions that people have. I mean, Seth Godin, for crying out loud, wrote a book called All Marketers Are Liars. And he's just saying what a lot of people think. So In terms of email, you were talking about writing email copy.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yep.
One of the things I think is so important that people overlook is you got to think about when you read email, how do you read it? And so often I see people marketing their products and services on the internet, and they send these nice professional looking emails with the logo at the top and the letterhead. And I think, mistake, because it looks like spam. Mm. It's advertising. I mean, most of us have a system that we use. In the old days of direct mail, we used to say people sort their mail over the trash can.
Yep.
And that's exactly how people sort their email, except they sort their email with their finger on the delete button. And if it looks like an ad, they probably delete it unless they're, you know, really planning on going to shop at REI and they're looking for a 50% off coupon this weekend. Mm-hmm. Then open that ad. But the emails that they read are the ones that come from their friends. So I like to think about how can I make my email look like it came from a friend? Does a friend have his logo at the top of his email?
I'm sitting here smiling on my face, but I'm also shaking my head because I am guilty of this right now. And so go on, because yes, you're totally right.
Does a friend have his positioning statement underneath his logo? The answer is no. It doesn't have any of that stuff. And then there's a way that friends talk to one another, and it's casual and shorthand and lingo. And I mean, like one of the first hurdles you've got to get past is getting people to open the email. And they make a judgment on that based on a couple of criteria. Well, three, actually. Most people, when they see their email, they can see three things. They can see who it's from instantly with a glance. They can see who it's from, what the subject line is, and what the first part of the email looks like graphically, depending on what email client they're using.
Sure.
So if your email comes from Big Co. Inc., that does not pass the sniff test.
Right.
If it comes from Ray Edwards International Incorporated, that doesn't pass the sniff test. But if it comes from a person, if it comes from Rick or it comes from Ray, then okay, that looks like maybe it's real email. If the subject line has you know all caps in it or it has brackets around it and it says webcast or something like that, people are trained. They know that's an ad of some kind. Mm. So I like my email subjects to read like the subjects that I get from my friends. And here's the best way, the lowest cost research you'll ever do. Go in your email inbox and your history and look at how your friends address email to you in terms of the subject line. What does it say? It says stuff like, can you make it tonight? Are you going to the party? Just thought you'd like to know. Take a look at this. It's casual language that friends use with one another to call attention to what they're writing about. Or it'll say, you know, about Rick's party tonight, those kinds of things. And then the email itself probably doesn't start with a formal salutation. It'll say something like, hey, Rick, just thought you'd like to know what's going on with our blank, whatever you're writing about. Mm-hmm. And then making it physically look like email from a friend is important as well. So your friend probably doesn't have a border around the email. We already talked about the logo at the top. All the stuff that we think makes us look like professionals makes us look like professionals, and we're trying to have a relationship with our customers, not be professionals. And if people have a relationship as a profession, there's a word for that, and we don't want to be associated with that kind of business.
Yeah, God, that's such a good point. Those are all great points. Now, so once we get into the email, once we're writing that email, and we're coming from it at a from a perspective of I'm writing to a friend, and so we're formatting it that way and using even that type of language. If we are promoting a product, let's just say, you know, how do we kind of take, I mean, we still want to get the point across, obviously. And, you know, and this is sort of a general question because I understand we're just sort of talking about this and not using a specific example, but we're writing to a friend and but we still have, our goal is to still sell a product. And maybe that, you know, enrollment is open for something and we're closing it down tonight. What type of language or what does that email sort of look like in lieu of we're writing to a friend?
Well, I just sent a campaign to my list that was similar to this not long ago. So I can tell you that a couple of my final emails said things like, one of my subject lines was, hurry, comma, you're about to miss this. Mm. Another just said, last chance, with a question mark at the end of it. And the copy itself, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it said something like, hey, I know you're probably busy this weekend, but I thought you might like to be reminded that this offer ends, and I've been talking to them about what the offer was, so that was something that they would know.
Sure. What
it ends Sunday night at midnight. So Don't get mad at me if you missed it because you didn't pay attention to this email. Here's the link. Talk to you next week.
Right, right. Short to the point, gets the, you know, gets the point across that the enrollment is closing at that time, but yet it's like you're speaking to a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to always be short. Short is good, but sometimes, you know, you want to tell a story just like your friends would. Your friend might tell you that they ran into Sue last week and Sue told them the most shocking thing. You'll never believe what she said. This is how it went down. I was at Starbucks. I met her in line and she said the following thing. We had this conversation and you find a way to connect that back to whatever program yeah. you're selling or video you're promoting, that kind of thing. Like I just sent out an email for a video that I released today. And the subject line said, your comment, please.
Hmm.
Okay. So I want people to watch the video and leave a comment.
Sure.
So it's just thinking through how it would be languaged naturally. And the person who's receiving it, how are they going to be looking at it? Are they at work? Are they at home? Have they been following a series of emails that you've been sending them? And if they have, you can't assume they've read everything. So you've got to make sure and tie all the threads back together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best tricks I've learned about making this kind of email sound natural is just read it out loud before you send it.
Yeah, that's such a great tip. Because you pick up on so much, you get so caught up into writing it, but then if you read it out loud, you're like, I don't talk like that. You know, it sounds terrible.
And if you stumble over it when you're reading it out loud, they will stumble over it when they're reading it to them silently.
What about, this is popped in my mind, what about font size? Do you have any suggestions there?
Well, you know, people give numbers as rules, and I don't like to do that, but I think bigger is better because probably your audience is viewing it on a device that the screen is less than optimized for email.
Yeah.
So if you're at, you know, 9 or 10 point font, it's hard for a lot of people to read.
Yeah.
So I recommend all my email that I send is at 12 points.
Okay. Okay. I was just thinking about that because I tend to use a larger font size simply because that's what I prefer. Just when I'm reading my own, you know, reading my own emails, and you're right. When I'm on the phone, I if it's a little bit larger, then cool. I just makes it easier for me. So yeah. I tend to go on the larger size.
I mean, the real answer, you know, is the ultimate marketer's answer. Test it and see which one.
Right. Sure.
But I think just use your head. You know, if it's easier to read, it's probably more likely to be read.
Yeah, sure. That's such a great point. Ray, let's kind of finish off with landing pages. And I have a feeling that we're going to kind of take everything we've sort of talked about, and these are the elements that go into a great landing page. But what are like some of the top tips that you need to think about when you're approaching writing a landing page?
They are so skeptical of anything you're going to say. They've automatically assumed everything on this page is BS. So you've got to come at it from that perspective. You've got to use fresh language, and you need to make the appeal I hope everybody who has a landing page that they're sending traffic to is offering something to people that they get in exchange for giving up their information.
Mm-hmm.
So that being the case, it's got to be something better than, you know, just a plain old special report or downloadable file, or you've got to think about what do people really want? And we think we know. You know, they want my copywriting checklist. Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. So that's where getting into the conversation, knowing what really is on people's minds. I like on a landing page when you're trying to entice somebody to become a lead, which is what we're really talking about, is give them something that looks like a quick, easy win to them.
Mm.
And if you can do that, you have a much better chance of getting them to sign up. Like one of the most popular things we offer on one of our landing pages is the Ultimate Writer's Toolkit. And it's just the software and tools that I use to do my writing. Well, sounds pretty pedestrian to me, but turns out writers love to know what other writers are using in terms of software and editing gear and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's very appealing to them.
What about testimonials? What about how descriptive do you get into on the landing page? And now, I mean, and there's a difference here. We're talking about, you know, a simple squeeze page where you're just mentioning the product. But what if it's a little bit more of a longer form? What are you sort of getting into when you go beyond that simple squeeze page and getting into that, you know, more information on the landing page?
This gets a little tricky because most of the testing that I've done or been involved in, the shorter copy landing pages seem to always win, except when they don't. And when they don't, it tends to be in markets where the sale is a little bit of a longer cycle.
Sure.
It's not an immediate decision like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy that thing, whatever it is. This maybe they need some education. You know, about 67% of your market, give or take, is vaguely aware they might need what you're offering, but they're not convinced yet. And so part of our marketing in this kind of situation is we're trying to educate them to the point that they understand, oh, I really do need this solution because I didn't really understand the ramifications of the problem. And so if you're making that kind of sale and you're writing a longer landing page, then you've got to treat it like you would a sales letter. And you've got to have the right eye-catching headline and the lead, like the first 250 words or so of the page, has got to be riveting. It's got to suck people right in. And the best way to do that is to grab them right at the point of pain. So, you know, for somebody who's advertising on Facebook, for instance, it might be the point of pain for them might be they thought it would be easy. So your lead copy might say, you thought it would be easy. You signed up for an advertising account with Facebook. You got into the power editor, got confused, thought you knew what you were doing. And the next thing you knew, you'd spent $700 and got nothing in return.
Right.
Ever been there?
Right. I'm recording this right now, obviously. And I'm gonna take that and use it in my next page. It was great.
If you think it'll work, then please do. I'd love to hear how it goes because it's that kind of when you can, it's like a James Bond movie. You know, every James Bond movie starts in the middle of some high action moment. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what's going on, but we know it's important and we know somebody's about to die. So we're pivoted to the screen and then that sequence is over and then we get into the real plot of the movie. And in writing or in screenwriting, we call it in media res, in the middle of the action. So that's a great place to start your copy. And once you've used that opening paragraph, then you can jump into, well, what's the real problem? The real problem is not that you don't know what you're doing. It's not your fault. Facebook didn't educate you on how to advertise the most effective way using your platform. You need a system that works that other people have. They've been the pioneers. They took the arrows in the back. So you don't have to. And then you can start talking about your solution to the problem, your quick, easy win that you're going to give them, the checklist or the tips or the 10 things to avoid so they don't lose $700 on this advertising campaign or whatever that information is. And when I said earlier, it's got to be like a sales letter, you've got to put enough thought into it that you're moving them toward the close. And the close is put in your name and your email address, and I'll give you this thing that will help you.
Sure. Sure. And a lot of what you started off with here in our talk here today, with talking to customers, talking to people who maybe haven't bought your product and hearing what they have to say, using that intelligence, if you will, into or with the landing page and the copy that you're writing there.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that is obvious to me, but it's not obvious to everybody because I see this mistake all the time, is people try to write from a third party kind of corporate voice sort of place. And that doesn't work really well.
Yeah.
You know, you're not HubSpot, so stop trying to be.
Mm-hmm. You saying that just brought up this flashbacks for me when I got out of the corporate world at the end of 2012. That's how I wrote. That's how I was used to, and it was a big adjustment. And frankly, I'm still adjusting from it because I wrote like that for so long that you're absolutely right. It's such a different style, and getting out of that corporate talk and the lingo and all that stuff and acronyms and everything. It's a big adjustment. But yeah, I love the fact that just if you are thinking about it from the perspective of you're talking to a friend and and trying to use the intelligence or use the information that you've gleaned from other people and talking to them, you're definitely going to try to come out. You're trying, and there's no definites here when it comes to copywriting and paid traffic, but this is going to set you up for better and more success.
Right. And, I'm sure that when you're teaching people your methods for advertising on Facebook or marketing, paid advertising in general, there's no one, like you said, there's no one set formula that works every time.
Yeah.
There's kind of a general set of guidelines. And then inside those guidelines, that's where the creativity and the art kind of comes, where you watch what's happening and you respond to it in the moment. And it's really the whole selling process to me boils down to be pretty simple. You've got a solution to a problem that you know is real, and you're enthusiastic about your solution, and you just want the people on the other side of the conversation to get enthusiastic about it too. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said, sales is nothing but a transfer of enthusiasm from one person to the other. That's probably horrible Zig Ziglar.
I love it. That was great. Most people would just say the quote. You got right into it.
I listened to so much to Zig Ziglar when I was young. My mom was in real estate, so we used to ride around in the car listening to those tapes.
Okay, nice.
See you at the top.
Ray, this has been great. This has been chock full of helpful stuff. I know that you have a lot of resources that people can benefit from. Where can people find more about you and the work that you do and all the resources that you have available?
The one true website to go to is rayedwards.com.
Excellent. Okay. And everything's on your site.
Everything's on the site. There's a ton of free resources. We've got a podcast. There's 100 at the time we're doing this show. I've got 151 episodes in the archive. We do one every week, and there's tons of free reports and PDFs. Just dig through the site, search. I've got checklists. I've got copy templates, lots of stuff to help you on your journey to selling more of your stuff, whatever you sell.
Awesome. And I'll be sure and link your site up in the show notes for today's episode. Ray, thank you so much for coming on today. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I'm just going to say for the record, The Art of Paid Traffic is my favorite new podcast.
Is it really? Are you just telling me that?
No, I'm not just telling you that, because I'm good at conversion,
yeah. But
I'm the master of traffic. So when I heard the name of your show, I was like, oh, that's the show I need.
Awesome. I love hearing that. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Great interview today with Ray Edwards. He's a brilliant copywriter, super smart guy, and no, I had no idea he was going to say that about the podcast there at the end. Make sure to check out his website and his podcast, as he's got a ton of great content to share. I link both his website and podcast up in the show notes for today's episode, which is at rickmulready.com/13. Again, it's the number 13. Also on the show notes page, don't forget, I put together a special download for you that has all the tips and strategies that Ray discussed today. I also want to let you know something that I haven't really talked about here on the podcast yet. This is something I do every month live here in San Diego. What I do is I put together one day in-person Facebook ads intensives, as I call them, here in San Diego. And the next one is coming up on Saturday, March 28th. Perfect also if you're coming in for social media marketing world. The 28th is the day after that conference ends. Now, the intensive is your opportunity to work directly with me in a really small group setting. I limit it to 5 people each month for intimate coaching and training that will give you huge breakthroughs in your Facebook ads. Regardless of where you're at with your ads, you're going to leave the training having everything in place and running the right way, start to finish. Now, I will say that these intensives are invite only and they're first come, first serve. So if you want my help in getting your Facebook ads rocking right now, email us at support@rickmulready.com. Let me know that you're interested in coming to the intensive, and we'll coordinate a quick 15-minute Skype call to see if you qualify to come. All right, that's all for today's episode, guys. Thanks so much for listening. As always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business. And I'll see you in the next episode, episode number 14.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.